Season of Light by Linda Villatori. Before dawn, I peeked out my bedroom window. All was still. A sanctifying snow had fallen overnight, blessing the trees, muffling all sound. On that cold Christmas morning, the air was clean, even, and calm. The oddest thing was the light. The trees and misty sky were blurred in powdery blue. Everything outside was resting, effervescent and blue. I opened my eyes wide to a surprising peace, wondering at this blue. I woke my little sister so she could look out with me. The tranquility was almost blue enough to quell her Christmas excitement. Not quite. Urgent to unwrap presents downstairs, she tugged at my sleeve. "Let's see what's under the tree." Down we went. As I had wished, Santa left a heavy box for me. Ice skates. In the winters of my childhood, amidst the wooded lakes of New York State, the trees lost their leaves. I could pull ice spears off the trees. They looked dead against the sky. The earth chilled. The ground and lakes chilled, then froze solid and hard. The slant of light changed. The weakened sun had almost abandoned us, and the terrible Ice Queen reigned with her cold, bitter heart. Under this white shield, my childhood memory is rooted in the culture of the North. I remember how the frozen ice on Sparkle Lake felt under the blades of my skates. As a child, in New York, I felt seasons change. I looked up, concerned at the diminished sky, the feeble sun. Why does sunlight grow weak, still? Why does it snow in winter? Why do we have seasons of light in the North? At Christmas, what else are we praising with a tree full of lights? Is it the ancient hope of renewal, of the sun's return? The music and stories of my childhood Christmas brought comfort to my winters in the North. That happiness of lights on an evergreen tree, snow and ice skating, formed this as a time of goodwill, inwardness, and gifting. It was easy to celebrate these. With our rituals, we pray that the sun will return to its full power and bring back light to the world. Then, only then, will that light have strength to melt the snow, thaw the hard ground, raise the grass underneath, and hatch the bugs and flower the wheat. Sheep and birds can be born and will have food to eat. We pray that the trees will leaf again. For now, life appears dead. It is winter north of the equator. The question is an old one. Our oldest answers contained magic. The actual cause is a strange one. You wouldn't guess it. We keep investigating our situation. 500 years ago, it was a struggle to figure this out. We discover that we are flinging through space around a hot star. Imagine that. Knowledge in that past could cost you your life. It needed a telescope to prove. The idea that the Earth went around the sun took 100 years to accept. But after that, we learned even more, that our planet is tipped over a bit. It travels around its heat source at an angle. Earth is not straight up facing the sun. It's tilted. It's cockeyed. Because of that tilt, we have seasons. In New York State, the temperature varies 100 degrees Fahrenheit between winter and summer. There are seasons of light. That early Christmas morning, peering out my window at the wintry scene, I didn't know then that I was living nearer the top of our tipped-over planet. So, being north, in New York State, in my house, and I peered out the window, I was leaning away from the sun, getting less heat. There you have it. I want to return to my ice skates. Ice grows towards the center of a lake. It is not flat. When it's cold enough to start freezing, the surface water grows still. It freezes unevenly, in chunks which link up. The edges around the shoreline freeze first. As cold deepens, the center begins to slush up. Winter winds move the waves around out there, so the center hardens last. Lake ice makes noise. It moans, creaks, and cracks. It has bubbles of air in it. It moves in cycles, thawing, now refreezing, thawing again, until it stays frozen day and night in the grip of deepest winter. The surface ice finally closes over and covers the fish. Most fish will survive the winter this way because the water below is warmer than outside or on the land. The fish swim around down there under the ice. They keep eating. They do just fine. But up top, you know the Ice Queen has you. Lake ice is bumpy and has ridges and bubbles in it. You scrape over these or carve around them when you skate. Lake ice is silvery gray with white seams which crack and shear down into the depths. Who knows how deep these seams are? They run off in every direction. The submerged air bubbles offer some clue to the depth of the ice. You learn to read these carefully.
The center of the lake is the thinnest ice. You have to watch out. You can fall in. Ice skating on a lake is more difficult than ice skating on a rink. I was never very good at it, but enjoyed being out there, clacking along, blades against the hard surface on a cold, bright day, sweating and puffing steam. One typically bitter cold day out on the ice, I saw my friend Karen Gordon's mom had built a fire on the far shore. I had to skate over there, almost a mile. Clever mother that she was, she somehow had produced hot cocoa. She had imagined in advance the pleasure this would give my cold nose that day. I took off my mittens and warmed my hands and face over her fire and sipped cocoa in a hot mug. The sun would get dimmer. It would get colder. I had to start back. Fortified by the hot, sugary treat, I looked over the span of ice to the far shore and knew I could make it back.